morning, members of parliament. Good morning to everybody that is here. The media is also here. They always want to, and are being led by that fellow from the SABC. He's calling the run of the SABC. And you do have some representatives from the American embassy. They always come and visit the conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brooke? Fine. Feel welcome in our community. Yes. Members, we have the minister with us today. It's supposed to be a very short meeting. It can be very long. The topic is only one. It's called the reflection of COPPA meeting that was held on the 3rd of February 2010. The minister felt that it's important for her, whatever she's seen on TV, that we have an engagement with her, we take her through to what exactly happened on that particular day. I had considered, because it's important, but when I got the call from the minister, I saw that it's an important call, and I need to agree with her that she can come and have an engagement with the portfolio committee on defense, on what exactly transpired in that particular meeting. Otatu Mlangeni, who is one of the people who was there, Otatu Tiale, have not yet arrived. Okay. But both David and Ulotima were in that particular meeting. I do have Eska, the guy from PGM in Rotterdam, like writing out exactly what took place on that particular day. So it is a nice and friendly meeting. I would like us to keep it in that particular way where we reflect with the ministry in a more proper and quite an honest way. That's what I really welcome with her when she raised the concern. But let us be frank and honest with her, but also let's maintain some respect and discipline in how we conduct with her, you see. What it means is really that members would have to keep within what we are trying to talk to, what was the issue on that particular day. To start the process, if I can start it, as I'm saying, there are members that are not here. The first question that was asked, Minister, on that particular day to the Secretary of Defense, I don't want to take into detail, I'll talk about defense. The first question, which has also been asked, it has been about tangible assets and lease commitments, which went on quite for some time, but what is exactly going on there? And the question was posed by a member of COOP. And I'm saying I've got the reflections, members will reflect exactly what took place there. You'd know that within the report of Parliament or within the report that is in front of us, that type of question is there, it's direct. And it's on the annual, when did we have the annual report come up? Yeah, it's on the annual report. On the annual report, honourable members, it's on 237. That's where the first question started to come out. This is the reflections of the auditor general. Do you want a copy, comrade? With okay. Then please just make sure that members receive two copies. I'm not going to go into the detail, I'm just reflecting. Now the first question was about assets. And the page was outlined and given to us that it is page 237 to go up to page 245. That is where the Honorable Lorna Mashiano was basing her questions on. And it went to and fro, Minister. We couldn't understand that within the department understand exactly the circumstances. But we had asked those questions in the past, the portfolio committee, and the expectation was that at this time, we shall get a straightforward answer. But it went to and fro. And until it really became clear. And maybe the one question that was also, I don't know how much disturbing was it, was like, she wanted to know about the fact that how long has Tumi been, the sector been acting. And what is going to happen to him, because she saw that in terms of the rules on the Green Book, if you go there, if you go to number 5, she quoted it, she says that the person of authority is defined there, who is the authority within there. And she would then have a little bit of a complication in relation to that matter and how she's approaching it, but she wouldn't want to engage heavily, but because she's got this reservation that he is an acting Secretary of Defense. And the second question was related from her also to ask that, with whom is Tumi? Who is the finance person? And then he introduced to Timothy Ale, who is now the acting chief financial officer. That was the pattern of questions that came out. And as I'm saying, for me, those are the fundamental questions, but people started to raise questions and concerns around that. I would leave it to members to help me to take through the process of executive order appealing. It is a process of, as I'm saying, an open process of us engaging with the minister, trying to reflect of exactly what happens there, because the minister takes it quite serious that it's her responsibility to politically to make sure that the department is run quite professionally and good. And it's in that context that she has raised her concern. Can I give somebody else who would want to say something? You can come, David.
Thank you, Chair, and compliments of the season to the Minister. We've not met this year, and also compliments of the season to her staff from the Ministry of Finance. Chair, I'd like to sort of get down to what I think is the nub of this issue by posing a question to the Minister. I also have an analysis of what happened and how the situation or the unfortunate situation arose and go. But let me
can I guide you first?
Yes.
Let's start with the school power. Right. And then you'll come with your questions later.
Okay.
We've got the minister here for quite some time. But take it through what happened and what is the whole reflection. I know they didn't give you a the first time I've seen you not being asked, having a moment of asking questions.
Chair, I mean my own analysis of what took place at Skopje is that there was an underlying context. And the situation and problem had been brewing for several months. Now, the minister, in your statement which you released on the 4th of February, you say that you take Parliament's oversight role seriously. But the fact is your actions demonstrate, in my view, exactly the opposite. And for that reason, there is, in my view, a Mexican standoff, if you like, between Parliament and the Ministry. And let me explain what my view of how this arose. First of all, the Portfolio Committee on Defence and Military Veterans has been meeting the Secretary of Defence regularly throughout the last 8 months. And I must be frank, when the Secretary of Defence appears before this committee, he often does not provide adequate answers to questions. He is often unwilling to provide information which the committee requests. And it creates the impression that parliaments are being kept in the dark. Now, I think that's a function of the fact that in many cases the Secretary of Defense is not informed on the detail, and I accept that in respect of some questions he may not be informed of the detail. But he then does not have the correct delegation who is able to assist him to answer the question. And I'm also, I don't know, but I sometimes get the impression that he does not have adequate guidelines, possibly from yourself, about what he may disclose and may not disclose to Parliament, and I think that creates a difficulty. And with respect, Minister, the situation is compounded by the Ministry of Defence. And here I refer to the fact that parliamentary questions, and we've dealt with this before, have not been answered.
Can we focus on Skopje, Chief?
Well,
yes, let's not...
Sure, there's an underlying context.
No, David, let's stick to what we've agreed on, that we're doing a reflection on Skopje on what happened on a particular day. Let's not go haywire, you see. I mean, let's focus. The focus today, I've clearly said it to everyone, that it is about what happened on Skopje on the 3rd. I don't think even questions are arising on this particular one. If you don't have anything to say on that particular day, don't say it. But say it on what happened on this particular day. Please. I have to keep it to that. That's the purpose of us calling the minister today.
Chair, with respect, if we're going to understand what happened at Scopa, then we must do a proper analysis of the problem so that we can resolve this issue and move forward.
No. David, I've agreed with you now that let's get focused on the set, what happened there. If there are other issues, we would really see if they can arise. But let's deal on the day on what happened on the set in Scopa.
Well, Chair, then I'm going to go as far as I can.
Let's not contextualize. Let's deal with the issue as it is arisen. Let's give respect to that particular opinion.
Well, Chair, I've then said my piece. I have a question to pose to the Minister, which is the number of the issue. And if the Minister, if this is a question...
Let's keep to the scope. Let's not raise questions yet. Let's do a reflection on what happened on a particular day.
Well, then I've reflected on what happened so far as I possibly can.
Okay. If you don't have anything more to say, David, with due respect, my honourable member, let's go on and find other people to do reflection on that day.
Chair, I'll then stop it there, but that doesn't mean I haven't got more to say.
No, I've never said so. I know you've always got something to say. If you just wanted to talk, not my drive, anything to say on this day, that's fine. Tatumlangi. Bring Linda away. Yes. It's not an ambush. I was sitting in the plane last night. It was a bit of... We are trying to take two minutes on what happened on the set of Quiscopa. She's a mutata to Utata. Okay, you are not yet ready. Okay, get out.
Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you for the opportunity to meet with yourselves to get clarity on the matters that I wrote to the Chairperson about. I wrote to the Chairperson when I received media reports about the outcome of the Scopa meeting with the Secretary of Defense. The reports in the media have been frightening. I'm at a loss how this could have happened, despite what David Mania might have wanted to think. I'm grappling with the very idea that it could have gone so wrong, especially given the level of preparation that we've put in place. It's taken us a long time to go through the Auditor General's report, especially after I had committed myself that we will not have a single qualified audit in my time. When we gave a notice that we were going to appear before Scopa, we dedicated the whole of the Saturday before, the Wednesday, to understand those matters that we needed to do to assist the department. The following Monday, I incurred the wrath of the Secretary General of the ANC because I skipped the normal working committee that is scheduled every Monday to sit down with the Secretary of Defense. We convened a special Council on Defense to understand if the Secretary of Defense would be able to represent us well, because we were very concerned that he should represent us well. We were thoroughly convinced, after he had taken us through the matters, that our understanding and his understanding were at the same level. We were thoroughly convinced too that he was on top of the situation. So convinced were we that in fact the Deputy Minister, who would have been sending in to accompany him, decided he would not do so. In fact, the Secretary of Defense would be very comfortable on his own. Bear in mind, this would have been his first appearance before Scopa. An unfortunate impression has subsequently been created that has spread by the official opposition, I don't know. However, there's an impression out there that defense is in shambles, that it is a time bomb, and we won't be able to defend the country. I need to put on record that the Secretary of Defense is not responsible for defending the country. Nor is his inability to explain audit reports a reflection of the South African Defence Force. He is the accounting officer. He deals with our audit reports and he deals with our finances. The preparedness or otherwise of the Defence Force is the responsibility of the Chief of the Defence Force. And we'll come back to that later. Secondly, an impression was given that I failed to turn up, and I'm sitting here. If I were to say that this arises from an official opposition, it would not be too wrong, that I failed to turn up for school committee. And the underlying impression that was given is this happens on a regular basis. I'd like the meeting here, chaired by the chairperson, to go through the number of meetings you have had, the number of times you have invited me, the number of times I have not been able to be here. I'd like him to go through the number of meetings I myself have initiated and compare that with any given time in the history of the Defence Force or in the history of Parliament. That's the count of times we have met. I did not fail to turn up for SCOBA because I have not been invited. It had been my intention, however, purely out of my own initiative, to be there because I wanted to understand what SCOBA wanted to find out from us. And also because I was completely convinced that we're beginning to see a turnaround in the affairs of the management of the Secretariat and the affairs of the Defence Force. However, 2 days before the date on which this matter served before SCOTA, there was a three-line whip of a joint cabinet committee meeting, and unfortunately I could not attend. I therefore asked the Secretary of Defence to indicate to the committee that I really would have wanted to come, but unfortunately my responsibilities as a minister and the executive of the three lines required me to be in that particular meeting. It seems that an apology was given, and I think apology is the wrong word. Apology is given only when I invited. I was not invited to SCOPA. I wanted to be there. The damage, however, remains my responsibility to repair the integrity of the department is central to my obligations, which is why I'm here, to engage with yourselves, to understand what could have gone down, and to ensure that we are at one in dealing with these matters. I don't know, Chairperson, if you will allow me to continue. It is mine. Thank you very much. All of us here have a responsibility, and I think it is important that we exercise that responsibility responsibly. I would like right now to deal with what I think could have been the reason why we performed so badly before SCOPA, take you through some of those issues that SCOPA had asked and were unable to answer. If only to get you to understand that you are completely on top of the situation. If only to get you to understand that in the year in which I am minister, we intend to have no qualified audits from the Auditor General. I'd like to take the numbers back a bit to the state of the Defence Force at the time under review, 2008-2009. The year began with the build-up to a rupture in the ruling party. Defence was in a uniquely unfortunate situation when both Minister and Deputy Minister were actively engaged in attending to these matters. Whatever they perceived them to be, they seemed to have been really actively engaged in attending to these matters. Finally, I think it was April 2008, both Minister and Deputy Minister resigned. No other department was as affected as Defence, because there was only one resignation, one or the other of the ministers remained for continuity. In this case, it was left unceremoniously one morning. Minister Mandela was appointed to manage the interregnum, and Sara was settled in defense, and we suffered yet another blow with the death of the Secretary of Defense in August 2008. Leaving yet another unplanned and vital blow to the defense infrastructure. The actual Secretary of Defense was appointed in September, having been drawn in as the Chief of International Affairs and the Secretariat. And given this background, so that he can objectively understand the environment in which the acting Secretary of Defense was drawn into, the environment in which this particular report was dealing with occurred, which the Secretary of Defense is required to respond to. However, having done so, I would like to say that I am extremely impressed with what has been done in this period, because the audit qualifications have been brought down to 6. A manageable number of 6 from other previous records which matched a number of 16. So despite these appeals, political and unexpected death of the Secretary of Defense, I think that the Secretary tried to hold its own. This is the period that we are reporting on. Chairperson, now I'd like us to concentrate on the matters at hand. The matter at hand is found in, as you say, page 238. I don't know if any of you have got your reports with you. I would have wanted to give you a presentation on the 6 audits that we got from the audit qualifications we got from the Auditor General, and I'll do that perhaps immediately after this. But I would like to explain the context which I think. I was not at the meeting. All I saw was a very drastic situation where it did seem that the Secretary of Defense, acting Secretary of Defense, was unable to explain this. He was asked about tangible assets. And my guess at this is that he was understandably unable to explain this. For the reason that, if you go to page 15 of the report of the annual report, you will understand the predicament that we have found ourselves in for a very long time. From the perspective of the Chief of Logistics, there is a disparity between the way that we classify our records and the way that we are now required to account, classify, keep a register, and account for the assets that we have. We have up to now, in categorizing our work and our material in line with the NATO standards. For the reason that we have joint operations with NATO, and we are responsible also for peacekeeping in Africa, and we are required by that agreement to keep the NATO classification standards. However, the chapter that has been adopted by the National Treasury is the Standard Chart of Accounts, the CFOA. Here is a very clear distinction between capital assets and stock. It would seem to me that for a very long time we have not been able to desegregate this because we've been going down in a particular system. We've been attacked with my auditors to try and understand where we are and where the defense, where the National Treasury would like us to be. And I'll give you the presentation and explain to you how we have to overcome this, because we have to overcome it, because one of the biggest problems is if the Auditor General is unable to find a tangible record of the assets that are in our hands, then we have a problem in accounting. So we have a dealing with this matter. I'm trying to understand what would have been in mind of the Secretary General, or the Secretary not to be able to explain this. He had the answers, but I think that he was caught up in perhaps something that is historical that we might be able to disengage ourselves from. How long, the question that was asked is how long has he been acting? He came in, as I indicated, in September of 2008, spent 6 months in the interregnum. When I came in as Minister of Defense in May, he was the acting Secretary of Defense. Now, in terms of the Constitution, the Secretary of Defense is appointed by the President. The President will confirm, once he's made up his mind on the matter, hopefully before the new financial year begins. The perspective from the Presidency is the President, as the Commander-in-Chief, needed to exercise his mind over the person to take over as Secretary of Defense. The President is responsible for appointing the Chief of Intelligence, is responsible for appointing the Chief of Police, is responsible for appointing the Secretary of Defense and the Military Command or the SANDF. The President has started with dealing with the security cluster as and when most of the contracts expired. We are in a unique situation where there is no contract with acting Secretary of Defense. His first attention was to ensure, his first attention was paid to ensuring that the police had a commissioner of police, because the contract of the commissioner of police had expired. His next attention was turned to the intelligence services, because both contracts of the heads of intelligence expired, and he attended to that. We've been in consultation with the President now over 4 months, dealing with this matter, and I believe the President is in a state now where he is comfortable with the appointment of the Secretary of Defense, and this will be laid down by his office in due time. But I did think that it was unfortunate that this question was posed to the acting Secretary of Defense, because he does not appoint himself, nor does the Minister appoint the Secretary of Defense. This is a question that the President only can respond to, and he is attending to the matter. I'd like us, therefore, to go to the audit that the audit qualifications that we received from the Auditor General, because, as I indicated, I am quite certain that the Secretary of Defense would have been able to take SCOPA through all of these and explain to SCOPA why we have the audit and what it is that we're doing about them. Because I think this is what SCOPA would have wanted to hear from the Secretary of Defense. I had hoped to have some kind of engagement to understand, because I was not there, from yourselves who would have been present, understand what could have gone wrong. Because I'm certain that the Secretary of Defense had the answers. I have no idea whether he... this being the first encounter with SCOPA, he was unable to rise to the aggressive encounter that he experienced, therefore unable to go through and explain what needed to be explained. But I do want to assure you that this is a matter that the Department, the Ministry and the Department of Defense have been seized with. And all of the questions that were asked, I am quite certain he would have been in a proper space, in a proper mindset, he would have been able to respond to. Chairperson, as I indicated, we have six qualifications that the Auditor General has found in the time, in the period 2008 and 2009. The very first one is the one where the Secretary of Defense was unable to determine between tangible and intangible assets, and we're going to be dealing with that. What the Auditor General has found that the DoD did not maintain a proper asset register as prescribed by the National Treasury and did not disclose any financial information with regard to assets. The root cause is non-disclosure of financial information because no physical asset count register could be removed from the Defence Force because essentially we have not aligned our systems to that which is required by National Treasury. What the Department of Defense has done is immediately start a cleanup of the register. One of the problems that we are experiencing once we've been able to ensure that the department is able to remove capital immovable assets from their register, from closing it with stock, is to ensure that we are able to approach cabinet with a request to be allowed to deviate with respect to the deviation on fixed capital assets which is land. This is a deviation, a standard deviation that has been given to the Department of Public Works because of the historical inaccuracies we have in our system of auditing the land that belongs to the state. We are tied to that register and therefore we will be requesting a deviation from the norm so that until such time as the Department of Public Works has a full audit of the land that belongs to the state, we will be complying with what is required. We are also trying to get some kind of a deviation from the norm that is set by the IFMS, the National Treasury, to allow us to migrate from the systems that we have been using to the systems that are required to have a proper accounting system. My responsibility is to make sure that at the soonest possible time, all this which the department has promised to do has been done. We need to migrate the manual and multi-accounting systems to a single system. Our problems are made much worse by the fact that each service has its own register and has its own system. What we need to do is ensure that we can migrate these systems into one system and turn up that system in order to ensure that we have one asset register that the Auditor General can go through and find credible answers for most of the problems that he has raised with us. We believe, Chairperson, that by 2011, by the financial year 2011, all these systems will have been in place. The migration of all the various services into one system, the compliance with Treasury, and compliance with the National Asset Register that the Auditor General will be able to read. However, for the current year that we're dealing with, we hope that the request for deviation will ensure that this will not be a qualification. It might be emphasis of matter, but we believe it will not be a qualification because we are tied to the matter and we are engaging with the Auditor General on how we deal with these matters. The second one is lease commitments. The Auditor General has found that the operating leases disclosed were overstated by 8.4 million. While the finance leases were understated by an estimated 10.7 million. The root cause of this is that the non-disclosure of financial information, that there are no physical asset counts which could be used for this particular purpose. We put in place corrective measures to ensure that we can deal with this, and one of them is to ensure that the inclusion of cell phones, facilities, copiers, printers, gas bottles are in the lease register because these fall outside what we put in our register. We've got to make sure, and we are putting in place the necessary steps to make sure that the government's borrowing rate from National Treasury is adopted in line with what we are doing. We are putting in place a debt management interim instruction which complies with all National Treasury requirements. And this has been concluded as of the 30th of September 2009. our last contacts are tied with the National Department of Public Works. We've got to ensure that we are in alignment with them, either to get those leases given back to us so we have final control, or find an alignment. The Deputy Minister of Defence is dealing with this matter so we get some alignment with the Department of Public Works. We have made a request to the Minister of Public Works that all our leases are lodged with us. We are hoping that before long we will be able to engage with the Minister to ensure that this is done. We have undertaken the services of the CSIR to assist us to ensure that all those leases that are primarily our responsibility are transferred to us. But because this is taking so long, I will myself be meeting with the Minister to ensure that this is done at the earliest possible time. We project, Chairperson, that that will not appear as a qualified audit in the way in which I am Minister. The third one, Chairperson, is irregular expenditure. The main finding from the auditor is that we have irregular expenditure, which was understated by 102.7 million. The amount that was condoned was not adjusted, and limitation of scope is a 77 million on these commitments. The third cause is that we have not again been in compliance with the policies and procedures as prescribed by National Treasury. We've put corrective measures in place, and as of the 30th of September, we have ensured that most of these matters are in place. We've developed a management training manual for our officers because we have discovered that some of the problems emanate from lack of training on the use of how to deal with some of the irregular expenditure that we have incurred. We have also set up a management sector which will be managed by the Department of, by the headquarters of the Department of Defense. We would like to come back to the matter of irregular expenditure later on in my deliberations. But I just wanted to assure you that we are on top of the matter. We have set out measures to ensure that reporting to Treasury is timeous, and we set up measures to ensure that a manual is prescribed to be in line with what with the prescripts of Treasury. My responsibility will be to ensure that I can monitor this. I intend to appoint a compliance officer in my office to ensure that at all times we are compliant with the requirements of National Treasury. Our projection in this matter is that we will not have a qualification on this again. Checking for government services is another one. It's the fourth one. We're getting quite close to the end. The AG was unable to verify the accuracy of payments made in terms of the AMG contract. This is the main cause of the Auditor General's finding. What we have done since we got the report of the Auditor General is to establish a board of inquiry to look into the affairs of the AMG contract. The AMG contract is routed via Denel, and these are the people who maintain our aircraft. We now have the results of the Board of Inquiry and the recommendations from the Board of Inquiry about what to do to rectify this matter. The recommendations of the Board of Inquiry are available for members and will be distributed to yourselves. This is a matter that we are constantly on top of, and I will make sure that there is ministerial oversight to ensure that the recommendations of the Board of Inquiry are complied with. Again, the appointment of a compliance officer will assist me in monitoring this matter. We are of the opinion, Chairperson, that on this matter again, we will not have an audit qualification. The next one is accruals. This is a matter which we believe if we had had the foresight and had our systems in place, we would have managed to explain to the Auditor General that this is a matter that is a policy from the audit of 2007-2008 and has been attended to. We can assure you with all the certainty we can that this audit qualification will not happen again. It has been corrected. The final qualification is one which is on a departmental revenue. And here, unfortunately, it does seem that perhaps our interaction with the Auditor General could have been optimized, because we believe this should not have been a qualification. And I'll tell you why. The main cause of this qualification is the high relevance of the FAMDF members is not in line with the Public Service Commission Bargaining Council Resolution No. 3 of 2002. This is what the Auditor General has found. Now, we have gone through our records and we have discovered that in fact there are other resolutions of the Public Service Bargaining Council that supersede this. Resolution No. 7 of 2004, Resolution No. 7.1 of 2007, which has given us the necessary foundation for what we have done. But this time, the Auditor General has indicated that in terms of the Public Service Commission Resolution of 2002, we are not allowed to charge the personnel who live in our mess more than the amount that we have charged them. We have scanned through the resolutions that have come subsequent to that, and we find that unfortunately this is a matter that perhaps the Auditor General should have looked at differently, because the records show that in fact we do have the necessary foundation for charging what we charge of 500 rand per person for board and lodging. We have the necessary documentation should there be any questions on this matter. Chairperson, we have gone meticulously through all of the matters that have been found by the Auditor General to be matters that have concerned him, and we have attended to them. We are continuously attending to them. And what we wanted to do here is to go through them, allow any questions that you might have, answer any questions that would need to be answered, with the intention of assuring you that we do not intend to have a qualification of our audit. So, I want to continue, Chairperson. There is a matter, I think two other matters that I wanted to deal with before we get to any questions. It is the matter of the inquiry into the head of oppositions, Mr. Toby Zane. Don't follow us, Honorina. The Auditor, the Inspector General has completed a preliminary report on the matter, and I had a discussion with him yesterday. He has asked for time to continue the investigation, taking alongside with him the legal division of the department to understand the legal implications of the recommendations that he's putting forward to me. As we say now, we have a preliminary report, and I do know that Honorable Lorimer has requested to have a look at the report. The report is inconclusive. It is still at a preliminary stage. We are engaged with the matter, and there are a number of recommendations that have come from the Inspector General, and at the time that you would be conveyed to yourself, Perhaps the Inspector General would be able to take you through as soon as he is completed. He has completed his findings. We would refer, however, to a person with a situation of the confidentiality of the information, should there be any court proceedings that follow from that. So I request that you attend to that matter and advise me how you intend to deal with it. But really soon we should be able to give you the report from the Inspector General. The final matter is the matter of the acting CFO. The acting CFO has unfortunately been acting in the position for a very long time. The very first time that we made a recommendation to Cabinet on a permanent position for the acting CFO, the matter was referred back to the Department of Defense. We've gone through various processes to try to meet the requirements as set down by Cabinet for a competent CFO, and we believe we've arrived at that point. Through the Minister of Public Service and Administration, we hope to be getting or to be requesting a transfer of an existing CFO in government, and we hope that in a month's time, having given due notice, we will have a CFO in place in the Department of Defense. Chairperson, I'm available now for questions in relation to those specific matters. I would like us later to engage with the matters, the allegations that are made by Honourable Member Mani. Thank you.
Although I don't want to open my meeting to between Mani and I want to confine it to what we have come to come and clarify here. This is not just clarifying, but it's also to give substance to the issues that are supposed to have been replied to on that particular day. Honourable Member, the Ministry has done a presentation to you. In the end, one wants more clarity about the issues that are in front of us. Is there anyone who wants clarity? I want to look around. I can see the two of you. Can I give you Lorima first?
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Minister, I'm certainly pleased that the Inspector General's report into senior procurement officials is making progress. I'd be very interested to have a look at that. This clearly was the issue that was the straw that broke the camel's back at Scopa, whereas there was dissatisfaction before when this issue of logistics and assets came up. That was when it really flared up, and it was in fact a colleague of the Minister's from the ruling party, Mr. Mbili, who laid some pretty strong accusations against a senior procurement official. We have not had a very satisfactory experience with SANDF logistics people on this committee, in that in October when they came before us and the issue of one of these suspicious tenders was raised, they were asked to produce certain documents which are still outstanding. Now I'm not certain what the procedure should be. I'd certainly hold my fire until we have a look at the Inspector General's report, but just to notify you that there are documents which they were told to give us, which they still haven't delivered to the committee, at least not that we've seen. So really that's just what I wanted to put on record, that we are still interested, but we'll hold fire for now pending a view of the IG's report.
If you'll allow me to respond to that. Honourable Lorima, I read a press statement that you gave on the 29th of November, indicating in that press statement that you have asked the Minister of Defence to investigate these matters that you're concerned about, and that 3 weeks later she was sitting on her hands and had not done anything about it. I think it's important that when we give our press statements, we should have our facts correct. At no point have you asked me to investigate anything to do with procurement. The matter was discussed by us in October in a committee. I have asked in Parliament, and my answer was very clear. Should I be asked by the Portfolio Committee, I'm very open to the matter, and I agree with it. I have not been asked, and I think it is only fair that we should report the truth, so that at the bottom we are able, both of us, to get to the bottom of this matter. I'm very available to deal with this matter, and I will deal with this matter when requested by the Portfolio Committee. I do know to your concerns about the matter, which is why we have asked the Inspector General to investigate, and I hope that his report will be satisfactory.
If I may just briefly respond to that, Minister, the request was made actually, there was an agreement in November by the Portfolio Committee that the Portfolio Committee would request you to investigate procurement. Now, I don't know whether that request was ever officially made, but it was done, as you suggested, through the Portfolio Committee from our side. So there was never, yes, a direct request to you.
It may then put it on record, Chairperson, that there never was a request. And I think that when we convey these messages, we need to be at one. We're dealing with a very serious matter, defense. And I do my damnedest 24 hours of the day to be able to attend to these matters. To be portrayed as sitting on my hands on such an explosive matter is unfortunate. I will await the formal request from the committee.
No. I must say at this particular moment, I have to make follow-up with the office and clarify exactly what has happened. You see, I do acknowledge the fact that you did say so and you did agree to within the Portfolio Committee. But if correspondents leave my office to go over to the minister, I have to clarify that with my own office before we do that. But I don't think in that 3 weeks' time we did put the minister that type of, or the impression should have been that the minister has not responded. I just have to clarify my office itself. I'll do that. I'll talk to you about it. David, do you want to say something?
In fact, Chairperson, Mr. Lorimer should have inquired from your office, first of all, whether that request has been sent to the minister, instead of making a serious allegation that the minister is instead not answering the questions and is sitting on a hand. It's a serious thing to say. You should have inquired from the office of the chairperson whether that resolution, the decision taken by the Portfolio Committee, has been conveyed to the minister, instead of making a serious, naughty allegation that the minister is sitting on a hand. Mustn't say such things about the minister.
Okay, that you've made your point.
If I may.
I don't want to open it up, you know.
I just want to say this to my honourable colleague, that when the Portfolio Committee makes a resolution to do something, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I expect them to do that. It's not for me to have to keep inquiring whether or not it's been done.
But it's fine. We have a good interaction with all members whenever they have to want and inquire about issues. Let's make it not an issue. I mean, we do talk quite regularly to each other. Let's not get down to that one. We will definitely investigate and come back to the Portfolio Committee itself. You want to say something?
Thank you, Chair. Let me begin on a light note. As a member of the official opposition, I'm always happy to take the credit. But the Minister, in fact, gives me too much credit. Because had the Minister read a transcript of the SCOPA meeting, she would know that the political tango was not wielded by the official opposition. It was, in fact, wielded by the ANC. But that's on a light note. Can I move on to my question?
On a lighter note, where I am crediting you with anything is the impression that I failed to appear. Because there is impression in the media that I have consistently failed to appear. That seems to me like it has your trademark on it. I would not credit you with anything that is beyond you because I quite understand what your limitations are under the name.
Chair, I'm in fact not sure if the Minister does understand my limitations because in fact Thank you, sir. I'll ask a question. Minister, on a more serious note, given the Secretary of Defense's poor showing at SCOPA, does the Secretary of Defense still have your full support and have you recommended to the President that he, in fact, be appointed as the permanent Secretary of Defense? That's the first part of the question. The second part is, in making your recommendation, did you take into account allegations made some years ago that the Secretary of Defense had interest in defense companies that were related to Chancellor House? That's the first question. And the second part of the question is, did you take into account the matter raised by the Auditor General on page 323 of the Department of Defense's report, where there's reference to 284,000 rands worth of, I quote, fruitless waste and wasteful expenditure on the Secretary of Defense's house? Thank you.
Yes. The assumption is that I will be discussing with you who I've recommended to the President as Secretary of Defense. Now that has been on there, you know that. So I will not stray into that. Please allow me to explain to you that this is an audit finding of the years 2008-2009. The Secretary of Defense came in at the tail end, the acting Secretary of Defense came in at the tail end of that year. So the Secretary of Defense that you find is referred to in the Auditor General's report is a deceased. You will also find in the report that there are investigations to ascertain liability. And once we've done that, we will hope to clear the matter. But this is in relation to the Secretary General of Defense who passed away. It has no bearing whatsoever on the current Secretary of Defense. You are also wanting to find out if the Secretary of Defense has my complete confidence. This is a man who was dragged in without so much as, you know, by your leave to come and rescue a situation because we had a death in defense. And I think he has held his own. I decided to take the committee through and the situation that we found ourselves in December. I called in the secretariat to come and find the money that I needed to borrow against to ensure that the soldiers are paid before the 23rd of December. I called in the secretariat and I indicated to them that they will not leave their post until such time as this money is found. If it meant me locking them in the room, I would do so. On that fateful day, they sat up until 12 p.m. The Secretary of Defense got a message at about 5 that his mother had passed away. What did he do? He continued until the job was finished. Came to hand me the documents and then went home to attend to his grief-stricken family. That story shows the commitment of a man who deserves to be where he is. Whether or not he was able to acquit himself before the audit, before SCOTUS, is something that I wanted to come and check with yourself, because I was not there. And I am completely baffled why he was so completely unable to explain himself. This is a man who's been able to put in place all of these steps that I now speak about to indicate what the Department of Defense is doing to ensure that we do not have another audit query. He would not be the eloquent quarter minute that our honorable members are here. He might not have those qualities, but some of the qualities that he does have are very valued in the Defense Force. I'm sure Honorable Mayor will understand that. Discipline, dedication, commitment. He did not acquit himself very well from all accounts. And I'm trying to work out why it happened that way. But would I recommend him for any job? Yes, any day. I'd probably have to put in place the necessary support mechanism and training to ensure that when he stands up to Honorable Mania, he's able to give as much back as he gets. He's not that kind of man. He did quite clearly crumble before the pressure that was exerted on him. And we've got to find corrective measures to deal with that. But I wanted to emphasize that it did not take away the fact that we are in a complete state of preparedness, financially and in any other way. And some credit should go to him.
I must say at the personal level, I was also not. Because I've known, as I said, I haven't had an engagement of him on Sunday, and I was very convinced that he has the capacity. I mean, I've been on the defense committee for quite a number of years, and this is your backbone in policy writing in this institution. He's got a lot of experience of what goes in and out of the defense itself. So he's been one of the people that I've known that the defense can rely on. So really, how he couldn't talk and explain himself on that day was a little bit shocking. But I must say, coming to do his work with one of the fantastic persons that I've ever had within the defense committee. I mean, I'm not arguing for anything, but I don't, as it's known that he's the president at that point. But at the end of the day, I mean, on reflection and on hindsight, to engage him, to try to understand what went wrong, I could understand that he's not like Dabini, who would speak any time. He's a very, he takes time to come to conclusion on issues.
I thought you were going to say he's not like Mania who can speak it.
No, you don't know how Ndabeni is giving me problems when you're not here. I'm so shocked when he's like quiet here, you see. Yes. Honorable member, I must not go on and on. We should not continue discussing the Secretary of Defense unless we don't have any other issue. I think we should also, the context of what the ministry is giving to us is very much important. You know, we should never ignore it. And so those type of backgrounds are going to help you to understand the circumstances of what the department is going through. I must say, I didn't ask for permission from you, Minister. I had a long meeting with the Chief of Defense just to try to understand what is exactly going on. But the preparedness, and I mean, I spent the whole of Sunday with him and the different generals, because I wanted to understand that, are we really in shambles? Is there no preparedness? I must say that it's not even here or there. From the general, from their own perspective, they are quite ready. They understand what happened. They have a full confidence behind the Secretary of Defense. It's just that they themselves couldn't conceptualize what was the problem on this particular day. And I can confirm that all the preparations, as the minister is outlining them, has been set. I mean, the Chief of Defense is fully informed exactly, even if you observe that even General Hakiani was here on that particular day, it shows that the whole collective, the military council, has gone through, and they are quite confident that all the issues that are being presented, the Secretary of Defense has been fully briefed by the whole institution. So it's just not about him. I mean, I wanted to understand that, are we running astray ourselves in how to understand the issues? Is there something that we are not doing correct? But I'm saying that after that engagement with the generals, I fully support what the minister is saying, that there's been quite a lot of preparations around these particular issues. We do have the Auditor General here amongst our ranks. People are dealing with some of the issues that are confronting us. It's not your occasion, but as I'm saying, you could hear what the minister is saying, the preparedness of trying to get issues that we've raised to be attended to. I mean, it is happening within the department. So I'm just saying that all these issues, we brought them to attention because I thought it's important after the minister requested this type of meeting that we give her the opportunity, because these things are crucial so that nobody thinks that the defense is in disarray. It can't stand up at any time, at any moment when it's commanded by the chief of command to say that can do and take some actions if ever there's a problem. It is quite ready from what I can tell you. Let's go, David. But I don't want to spend time much on this issue, so if you have any other questions in relation to the minister, please. Let me just find out, David, is there anybody here who would want to raise a question?
Except to congratulate the minister, I think she's done very well. As if she was present in the at the meeting of the SCOPA, but I suppose she must have received a report as to what actually took place. And I think she has heavily dealt with all the issues that were raised. I don't know whether we are going to discuss the NEL also today.
Good evening, one after city. Why don't we go into DNL? Oh, I see. All right, thank you very much. We're just clarifying that. Yeah, yeah, thank you. DNL is a separate man. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you, sir. Mrs. Swan. Chair, good morning. Thank you, thank you, honorable. I know one day you said I shouldn't attend. I was misled by the image. It was not saying anything about COP. It was saying something else, so I came. All the honorable members, they know that I'm serving in the commission, so I'm not talking about the commission. But I'm not supposed, according to the chair, to attend. But thanks that I attended, because I saw it on TV. Yes, explained it. But you know, as we are continuing, I'm not saying other departments can do what I'm going to talk about, but they can afford to do it. You know, defense. I didn't write an examination of joint matriculation board. I started by this bank to education, and I passed through national senior certificate. But even then, defense is so broad. It doesn't defend this member because this member belongs to the majority party and leave this member. But you know, as I'm listening, for as long as we are not taking our country as a holistic country, to a point where when we are saying the Auditor General, the questions were raised by the member of the majority party, the question, I will request that we package this thing somewhere when it comes to defense. Because truly speaking, the job outside there, It is so huge. We can't afford to make mistakes and not to make mistakes just because I belong to this family and not to that family. It's South African National Defense Force, which is for everyone. We can enjoy such things somewhere. But in this, what I saw on TV, there's no need. Maybe it brings me to the second issue, that maybe we really, really need. I was happy when we were talking about logistics because it's important. Maybe we need to have a serious watch. I once read this thing at the National Assembly and it was accepted, but for some strange reason, it never took place. Maybe it is bringing us back to that. Can we have a common understanding? Whether we belong wherever, whether it's Joint Standing Committee or Defense Committee, do we understand? Do we have an equal understanding of what it is that we are defending? And different arms that are involved in us defending. So that our discussions in such boardrooms can begin to say, here are the people who live in South Africa, who sometimes go out and go and assist other countries. But for now, you know, it has got a homeland base. Based on which is my family, and it won't take us anywhere, really and truly. Thank you, Chair.
I'll take it that you're going to be the last one to raise issues, but we'll take note of what at some stage we'll have to thank Governor Davis. She has assisted us in that interim committee that has been put together to assist even on the issues. When the call came, she didn't say, no, I couldn't. She did a very important thing to assist us to understand the depth of the problems that the SANDF is confronted with. And she's talking from that background that even to raise the issues of remuneration, she's been contributing. So she got a lot of experience throughout this particular period. But we will come back to you, Honorable, where we spend some time and talk to internally amongst ourselves to the issues that you have come across within the SANDF itself. David?
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and make this point briefly. I mean, the Minister said in her opening remarks that the purpose of her visit here, or one of the purposes of their visit was to better understand what happened at SCOPA. And my view is that the minister's analysis of what happened at SCOPA is wrong, and therefore she is treating the symptom, not the cause. There is an underlying frustration, in Parliament, which exploded at SCOPA. Now, without belaboring what caused that underlying frustration, I've already referred to the Secretary of Defense being less than candid with the Portfolio Committee. I would also urge, and I'm not going to belabor this minister, to look at the relationship between the Ministry of Defense and Parliament, particularly at issues relating to correspondence, complaints, parliamentary questions, and visits to bases. I think that's all that needs to be said. There is an underlying frustration, which I believe that we need to tackle. Thank you.
If you will allow me, Chairperson, to perhaps to start with David Mania. Yes, I had wanted to come here and understand what happened. And you had indicated, Honourable Mania, that you had no comment. I think it's absolutely important that you do not conflate your own perception with that of what happened in SCOPA. I think SCOPA was genuinely interested in understanding what the root cause of the audit qualifications were. It has nothing to do with the politics that you're bringing into it, because as you yourself have indicated, it was members of the ruling party who were up in arms. They expected the accounting officer to be able to understand and differentiate between capital assets and stock, immovable and movable assets, which by all accounts he was not able to. They expected the Secretary of Defense to explain irregular expenditure, especially in relation to what they found was the phenomenal amount of money for goods and services, etc., etc. I've got some of the questions with me. So their frustration was getting an accounting officer who could not respond. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about. What you're talking about is a figment of your own imagination in relation to yourself and the Ministry of Defense. And let's not conflate the two. I really am very concerned about SCOPA, because finally they've got to have confidence that the money that is given to the Ministry or Department of Defense is looked after properly. And I have made an undertaking here that all of those matters that were qualified matters by the Auditor General, we are attending to them. I've made an undertaking here that I have personally ensured and put in place steps to ensure that there will not be any qualification in my time. That's what SCOPA is responsible for. Right. Now, the matter that you're raising is a matter that you come back to and use every opportunity to come back to over and over again, the matter of questions. We attended to that matter the last time we were here in session, same place, about the same time, at about the time that everybody else was getting very tired of the meeting and wanting to work out how they can stuck out, because it's going on and it remains at this point stuck at questions. My request to the chairperson is a matter that I had parked for some time in relation to this. Chairperson, the issue that I had asked you right at the outset, could you please, as a portfolio committee, together with the presiding officers, give an indication to us in defense what the various portfolio committees of Parliament are responsible for? What is the mandate and scope of the Joint Standing Committee on Defence responsible for? What is the Portfolio Committee on Defence responsible for? I can give you just my own analysis from the top of my head, but it doesn't seem to be what you're complying with here. And I am the compliance officer for Parliament, but I do find that sometimes you are way outside of the scope and mandate that I think belongs to the Defence Committee. But that is something that perhaps you can correct me on. When our legislation and the Constitution say, for instance, that the National NCACC will report to Parliament on the register of all of those matters that it deals with. Which committee exactly are they talking about? This is a committee of the National Assembly, not a committee of Parliament. The Constitution says very clearly we're the party of Parliament. The branch of Parliament should commit to dealing with this matter. And my view is that it's a joint standing committee on defense. And when this matter is carried out to the Honourable Member Mania, every time we ask the question whether this is a competent place to deal with this matter, then it is the kind of situation that we're engaged in. I ask again, could you take time, yourselves, the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, the Joint Committee, and get some clarity so that you can guide us? That, I think, is a proper place to start so that we can proceed. Because some of the questions that are asked, which I have difficulty in answering, I have explained, I have absolutely no difficulty in dealing with them in a setting that is conducive to maximum transparency where the security of the state can be protected. That is provided for in the rules of Parliament. So I will expect that perhaps at some point you will come back to me. But there is a matter that was raised which I wanted very briefly to come to that had to do with the frustration of Scopa. And I really am very sorry that the Secretary of Defense was not able to attend to this matter. You know, the classification which the Auditor General uses to deal with matters, in the matter of goods and services, there is an outstanding, a huge amount of money of $2.9 billion, which is allocated to consultants, contractors, agencies, outsourced services, etc. Now, for anybody who is looking on, it is a huge amount of money to be given for contracting or for consultancies. But in our case, this is money that is used for the maintenance of our bases. This is money that we use for building contractors in the maintenance of our bases, which is why it is such a huge amount of money, $2.9 billion. And I think that the necessary segregation is not done or catered for by the Auditor General, and this is what the Secretary of Defense would have explained to Scopa. Chairperson, I don't know if there were any other questions. I would like to hand over to you, seeing as you now have the annual report, the time template that we've used for looking at these matters, what we propose we're going to do, the time frames that, by which we have done or will do these things, and the commitment that is given by the Minister on each one of them. And the bottom line is, we will not have these qualifications again.
Yeah. Now, Minister, let's thank you for at least availing yourself to us. On the matter raising the JSC and the portfolio committee, we've been talking, both me and the chair of the JSC, that given that the NCACC report is creating confusion that on whose foot the JSC to be, who's responsible for it, you see. But also within that, they say it comes to Parliament, but the quarterly report and the annual report, so there are two aspects of the report that is to come to us. Either the annual report comes to us or the quarterly report goes to the JSC. But given that it's not my, I also got appointed to become the chair, I had to go and report to the chair of chairs, and he has to take it over with the presiding officer so that he's the one who gives guidance and give the explanation of what exactly is going on. So they are constituting committees. Mine is to subjectively deal with what is in front of me. So that's all I said, and I still want to engage and get a report from him, so he is responsible. If I take some responsibility because I'm appointed, you know I can catch fired. I really acknowledge, I know you've been putting me under pressure with good faith, not because you have any other thing, but you want to have clarity because, as you've always been saying, that you would always want to keep Parliament abreast and informed about how you're conducting your work, we would have to clarify that matter, you see. And honourable members, as I've said from the start, I've allowed the Minister to come and do these presentations to us so that you have a depth of what exactly is going on in the defence, and not to look at the individual, the secretary, the acting secretary of defense, and come to conclusion that the defense department is in disarray. as Honorable Mukabadeli is saying, these things create wrong impressions outside. And then we do know, for a matter of fact, that we have got a lot of visitors. As I said, we've got even the the American people around here today. Because all get worried that I was sending people to South Africa and East South Africa organized. And when we make these statements, they do affect the broader public. They do create a perception and that we aren't ready as a country. That's why I had to go to the Chief of Defense and get more clarity that really are we not ready. I'm still saying, and I agree with the Minister, that the question of the Acting Secretary of Defense should not be blown out of proportion, that it does mean that the country is not ready. The country is ready. The SNDF is quite ready. It is
not quite ready.
Oh, I see. You see, this, I get corrected every 5 minutes. Yeah. But as we are saying, as we are standing here, I mean, as a collective, we stand with what we are saying, that the SNDF is ready. There should not be doubt in anybody's mind that what happened on that particular day is a crisis in the SNDF. It was really a question of articulation from his side. It was not a question of that he was not briefed about the secret issues. I would really want to thank you, Honorable Members, and I thank the media. They keep on coming, but we always want to thank you. We want to thank also the officials that came along. We always want to thank the American people who come and listen to our committee. Minister, we really thank you for taking your time out to come and sit in front of us to clarify the issues that you are getting confronted with. They are very much important to us, because they fundamentally just explain to us where the SNDF is, if everything is going well. Very well. We're very thankful to you to give your time to be able to come and interact with us. I know my whip and everybody is quite thankful that you have taken this effort. Thank you to everybody. I've come to an end of the meeting. David.
Chairperson, I did get your communication complaining that you are not invited to some birthday party. You know, David, I might not have been invited to a birthday party. It's not part of my oversight responsibility. They may or may not invite me, depending on whether they like me. But I have taken note of your concerns, and we will have a simulation test for the LOC and members of cabinet, and you stand invited for March, so that we are able to show you our state of readiness to protect the 2010. I was invited almost at the last minute. They almost forgot to invite me too, but I presented myself, and I was suitably impressed with the simulation exercises and suitably impressed with the state of readiness. So in March, at a time that is convenient for everybody, you will be invited, and we will make sure that the birthday cake is also given over to members of the portfolio committee.
Okay.